terms of reconstruction, of course we want the international community to participate, and they are. There's a lot of participation by the international community in restoring this infrastructure of the country of Iraq that Saddam Hussein had just totally, I shouldn't say totally, but destroyed a lot of.
Before we take a break, now that we have determined there are probably not these stockpiles of weapons that we had thought, and the primary rationale for the war had been to disarm Saddam Hussein, Paul Wolfowitz, Deputy Defense Secretary, said that you had settled on weapons of mass destruction as an issue we could agree on. But there were three. One's the weapons of mass destruction, the second is support for terrorism, and third is Saddam's criminal treatment of his Iraqi people. He said the third one by itself is a reason to help the Iraqis, but it's not a reason to put American kids' lives at risk, certainly not on the scale we did. Mm-hmm. Now looking back, in your mind, is it worth the loss of 530 American lives and 3,000 injuries and woundings simply to remove Saddam Hussein, even though there were no weapons of mass destruction? Mm.
Every life is precious. Every person that is willing to sacrifice for this country deserves our praise. And yes.
Do you think?
Let me finish.
Please.
It's essential that I explain this properly to the parents of those who've lost their lives. Saddam Hussein was dangerous, and I'm just not going to leave him in power and trust a madman. He's a dangerous man. He had the ability to make weapons, the very minimum. For the parents of the soldiers who've fallen, who are listening, David Kaye, the weapon inspector, came back and said, in many ways, Iraq was more dangerous than we thought. We're in a war against these terrorists who will bring great harm to America. And I've asked these young ones to sacrifice for that. A free Iraq will change the world. It's historic times. A free Iraq will make it easier for other children in our own country to grow up in a safer world, because in the Middle East is where you find the hatred and violence that enables the enemy to recruit its killers. And Tim, as you can tell, I've got a foreign policy that is one that believes America has a responsibility in this world to lead. A responsibility to lead in the war against terror, a responsibility to speak clearly about the threats that we all face, a responsibility to promote freedom, to free people from the clutches of barbaric people such as Saddam Hussein, who tortured, mutilated, there were mass graves that we have found, a responsibility to fight AIDS, the pandemic of AIDS, and to feed the hungry. We have a responsibility. To me, that is history's call to America. I accept the call and will continue to lead in that direction.
In light of not finding the weapons of mass destruction, do you believe the war in Iraq is a war of choice or a war of necessity?
I think that's an interesting question. Please elaborate on that a little bit. A war of choice or a war of necessity? I mean, it's a war of necessity. My judgment, we had no choice. When we look at the intelligence I looked at that says the man was a threat. And you know, we'll find out about the weapons of mass destruction that we all thought were there. That's part of the Iraqi survey group and the group I've put together to look at. But again, I repeat to you, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but David Kaye, who was the man who led the Iraqi survey group, who has now returned with an interim report, clearly said that the place was a dangerous place. When asked if President Bush had made the right decision, he said yes. In other words, the evidence we have uncovered thus far says we had no choice.
We're gonna take a quick break.
Thank you.
We're gonna go back and talk to the president a lot more about our world and our economy here at home and the presidential election of 2004. We're in the Oval Office with President George W. Bush.
Hi, visit NBC11.com.
Back in the Oval Office, talking to the President of the United States. Mr. President, this campaign is fully engaged. The Chairman of the Democratic National Committee, Terrence McAuliffe, said this last week. I look forward to that debate when John Kerry, a war hero with a chest full of medals, is standing next to George Bush, a man who was AWOL in the Alabama National Guard. He didn't show up when he should have showed up.
Yeah.
How do you respond?
Political season's here. I served in the National Guard. I flew F-102 aircraft. I got an honorable discharge. I've heard this ever since I started running for office. I mean, I put in my time, proudly so. I would be careful to not denigrate the Guard. It's fine to go after me, which I expect the other side will do. I wouldn't denigrate service to the Guard, though. And the reason I wouldn't is because there's a lot of really fine people who've served in the National Guard and who are serving in the National Guard today in Iraq.
The Boston Globe and the Associated Press have gone through some of the records and said there's no evidence you reported for duty in Alabama during the summer and fall of 1972.
Yeah, they're just wrong. There may be no evidence, but I did report. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been honorably discharged. In other words, you don't just say I did something without there being verification. The military doesn't work that way. I got an honorable discharge, and I did show up in Alabama.
You did. We're allowed to leave 8 months before your term expired. Is there a reason?
Right. Well, I was going to Harvard Business School and worked it out with the military.
When allegations were made about John McCain or Wesley Clark and their military records, they opened up their entire files.
Sure.
Would you agree to do that?
Yeah. Listen, these files have been, people have been looking for these files for a long period of time, trust me. And starting in the 1994 campaign for governor. And I can assure you, in the year 2000, people were looking for those files as well. Probably you were. And absolutely.
Allow pay stubs, tax records, anything to show that you were serving during that period?
Yeah. We still have them. But, the records are kept in Colorado, as I understand, and they scoured the records. And I'm just telling you, I did my duty. And it's politics to, kind of ascribe all kinds of motives to me. But I've been through it before. I'm used to it. What I don't like is when people say serving in the Guard may not be a true service.
But you authorized release of everything to settle this.
Absolutely. We did so in 2000, by the way.
Were you in favor of the war in Vietnam?
I supported my government. I did. And would have gone had my unit been called up, by the way.
But you didn't volunteer or enlist to go.
No, I didn't. You're right. I served. I flew fighters and enjoyed it. And provided a service to our country. In those days, we had what was called Air Defense Command and was a part of the Air Defense Command system. The thing about the Vietnam War that troubles me as I look back was it was a political war. We had politicians making military decisions. And it's a lessons that any president must learn, and that is to set the goal and the objective and allow the military to come up with the plans to achieve that objective. And those are essential lessons to be learned from the Vietnam War.
Let me turn to the economy.
Yes.
And this is one of my charts that I'd like to show you.
I was hoping to see
one of them. The Bush-Cheney first 3 years. The unemployment rate has gone up 33%. There's been a loss of 2.2 million jobs. We've gone from a $281 billion surplus to a $521 billion deficit. The debt has gone from $5.7 trillion to $7 trillion, up 23%. Based on that record, why should the American people rehire you as CEO?
Sure. Because I have been the president during a time of tremendous stress on our economy and made the decisions necessary to lead that will enhance recovery. Let me review the bidding here. The stock market started to decline in March of 2000. That was the first signs that things were troubled. The recession started upon my arrival. It could have been, some say February, some say March, some speculate maybe earlier it started, but nevertheless, it happened as we showed up here. The attacks on our country affected our economy. Corporate scandals affected the confidence of people and therefore affected the economy. My decision on Iraq, this kind of march to war, affected the economy. We've been through a lot, and what those numbers show is the fact we have been through a lot. But what the people must understand is that instead of wondering what to do, I acted, and I acted by cutting the taxes on individuals and small businesses primarily. And and that itself has led to this recovery. And so you show that the numbers, I'm not suggesting the chart only shows the bad numbers, but how about the fact that we're now increasing jobs? Or the fact that unemployment is now down to 5.6%. In other words, we went to a recession, the unemployment went up, and now it's heading in the right direction. The economic stimulus plan that I asked Congress to pass, and I work with Congress to pass, is making a big difference.
But when you proposed your first tax cut in 2001, you said this was going to generate 800,000 new jobs. Your tax cut of 2003 create 1 million new jobs.
Yeah.
That has not